Would you turn your Bible to Isaiah 32? There were some serious bad predictions made by people in the past. Here are a few examples. Time magazine predicted that online shopping in 1968 like this: remote shopping, while entirely feasible, will flop. In 2013, Amazon.com alone made $75 billion revenue. Just one company. What is the 2013 revenue for online shopping? $1 trillion. No wonder why Time magazine is struggling to maintain, right? Robert McAfee, the founder of Ethernet, he is the inventor of the Ethernet, it's a pretty much a local connection, predict the future of the Internet in InfoWorld magazine, December 1995. He said, "I predict the Internet will soon go spectacularly supernova and in 1996 catastrophically collapse." Any of you guys know the name Robert McAfee? Is that how you pronounce? Not many people know him, but everybody knows about the Internet. All right. You guys know this guy's name. He's going to be the new owner of the LA Clippers. Former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, in 2007, he said, "There is no chance that iPhone is going to get any significant market share. No chance." Well, what do you know? Laughing at them, Apple is laughing all the way to the bank. You see, human in general cannot predict the future because they don't know the future. But every prophecy in the Bible has come true and will come true. Then the Bible skeptics would have a challenge. They would say, well, you know, the Jesus prophecy, maybe he deliberately fulfilled it, or maybe it just happened that way. If you are a serious Bible student, to you that challenge, that question would be a walk in the park question. Okay. Then I like the way the Jesus encounter skeptics like Pharisees and Sadducees, so with the questions on questions. So here are my questions for those Bible skeptics. Do you know anyone who was able to predict to be born in particular time, in particular place, and particular family, and was able to fulfill that? No one. And how about this? Do you know anyone who was able to predict his own death? How he's going to get killed. And he was arrested, tortured, and crucified, and just as he said, and 3 days later he was resurrected. No. Okay, final question. Do you know anyone who was smart and capable enough to beat the art of fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus Christ? Let me explain this. Peter Stirner, you might know him. He's a mathematician and professor emeritus of science of Westmont College. And he wrote a book, Science Speaks, Calculate the Odds of the Single Man Fulfilling Just 8 over 300 prophecy regarding Jesus from the Old Testament. To fulfill that is a mathematically improbability of 1 in 10 to 17th power. Do you know what that's like? With the one and that there's a 17 zeros in the back. That's just 8 prophecy out of 350 some prophecies in the Old Testament. We call that number 100 quadrillion. Did you know that there is such a number as a quadrillion? Let me tell you what kind the odd is. You have a single dollar coin, and you marked red one side just with a magic marker, mark it red, and then you toss that single dollar coin into the tank that is the size of a Texas state, and that is filled with another silver coin just like this one, 2 feet deep. And you stir that, toss it in, and you stir that somehow thoroughly, and you stick your hand in and pick out one single coin that you mark one time. That's the art. One in 100 quadrillion odds. Just fulfilling eight of them. I looked at the 354 prophecy to fulfill that. It's like a number goes from here to the one end to the another end of the screen of a computer. So I said, never mind, I cannot pronounce that number. By the way, please don't tell President Obama or the Congress that there is such a number as 100 quadrillion. They will spend it just to prove that they can. In chapter 32 to 35, we will encounter prophecies for God's judgment against ungodly people and nations, as well as the glorious 1,000 years of Jesus' reign on earth. We will stop here and pray. Father, there are a lot of things going on in this world, mostly bad. And some of us in turmoil because of what's happening, or some of us in turmoil because of what's happening in our lives as well. You alone can provide the peace that passes all men's understanding. Let us anchor our heart with you, that is immovable rock. Father, we are asking you, teach us what's going to happen in the future. But we will not be shaken because you are our God. You are our strong tower. You are our strength. Teach us and reign in our lives as we sing, and that we may walk in the righteousness and holiness of yours. Anoint our heart, anoint the one who speak. And Father, we also pray for our soldiers, the one who deployed into the harm's way, like Iraq and Afghanistan, or wherever they are. You protect them, and you bring them back to their families, to their homes, safe and sound. While they are away from their families, during the time of difficulties, Father, we ask you to speak to them, they may come to know Christ. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. And we pray for the salvation of President Obama. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 32 in the book of Isaiah, please. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princess will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dimmed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rash will understand the knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work in iniquity. To practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also, the scheme of the schemer are evil, and he devises wicked plan to destroy the poor with lying words. Even when the needy speaks justice, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Stop there, please. Although King Hezekiah of Judah certainly fulfilled the prophecy of the righteous king will reign here, but the prophet Isaiah more foretelling what's going to happen in the future, even passing the current time into the future area, a time of the Great Tribulation. Isaiah warned that at his call that he would see men shutting their eyes and ears to the truth he proclaimed. But when the Messianic kingdom comes, there will be no such a thing as a spiritual insensitivity. If the leaders are blind, listen to me please. If the leaders are blind, their people often share this blindness. Did you get that? A nation gets the leaders it deserves. Before we complain about unethical, immoral, and ungodly leaders of this country, look at the people in this country as well. A lot of them, majority of them, are immoral, unethical, and ungodly. They do not want to do what the Bible teaches them to do. That's why they reject God. They don't mind being unethical. They don't mind being ungodly. They don't mind being immoral. But in the Messianic kingdom, this immorality and wicked act will be judged by the Lord immediately, not by another unethical, immoral, and ungodly judges. And when I see these federal judges literally rewriting the Constitution, it's like, wow, you're making your own laws now? I thought that you are judicial branch, not the branch where they make laws. God will reign with his righteousness and holiness during the 1,000 years. Go to the next chapter, chapter 33, verse 10. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted, God speaking. Now I will lift myself up. The time is here. See, the prophecy in chapter 33 against Assyria, you know, the Assyria kingdom that invaded Judah, Israel, northern kingdom, and now down to Judah. And they were literally outskirts of Jerusalem. And they were about to destroy this country. You see, in his unbelief, the king Hezekiah gave the money to Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, saying, please don't invade us, don't destroy our country. Do you know what the Sennacherib did? He took the money, he said, okay, we're going to go. And then he decided, second stop, I'm going to go back and destroy the whole thing and take them all. He was such a low life that he double-crossed King Hezekiah. The Assyrian king had destroyed others. So in his, he had to be destroyed. With the worst of all, Assyrian thought the God of Judah was no different than any other local god in other kingdoms. Listen, nobody mocks God and get away with it. Keep your finger on Isaiah. Go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Right before Ephesians, right after 2 Corinthians. As we often recite, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. One time, I told my grandson that if he go take a nap, I will have a special surprise for him. That was a huge mistake of my part. He doesn't understand later, meaning of later. He wanted it now. He would not go to sleep. You know, in a way, we act that way. We ask God to do something for us. We make a prayer request, and we expect Him to act right here, right now, not later. How often the Lord make us wait? Does He do that just for fun of it? No, He make us do that to build us, build a character in us. Instead of patiently waiting upon the Lord, and we get ourselves in trouble by concocting our own strategy to help ourselves. At least we have a strategy, like somebody who has no strategy at all. No one particularly in mind, of course. Trust me on this. There is no such a verse as heaven help those who help themselves. There is no verse like that in the Bible. Rather, God help those who trust in Him. The sooner we realize that we cannot put our God in our timeline, the better we are in trusting Him and depending on His awesome sovereignty and omniscience. While we see our frame of our lives one thing at a time, you know, it's like a slow movie, very, very slow moving the thing, one picture frame at a time. But God sees the entire thing from the past to the future. And He make the things the way He knows best. As they said, the Father knows best. Thus, in the midst of our confused and troubled world today, the dedicated believers are able to say, "Our times are in Your hand, God," and with all the confidence and find peace in God's will. Go down to chapter 34, verse 1, please. Chapter 34, verse 1. Come near, you nations. Now, God is speaking through Isaiah to all the ungodly nations during the time of the Great Tribulation. Come near, you nations, to hear and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that comes forth from it. And for the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and His fury against all their enemies, all the armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter. Skip down to verse 5. For My sword shall be bathed in heaven, and indeed it shall come down on Edom, on the people of My curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord filled with blood, it is made overflowing with the fatness, with the blood of the lamb and the goats, with the fat of the kidneys and the rams, of the rams. For the Lord has sacrificed Bozrah and great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen, if you have a King James, it says unicorn, which is wrong translation. Wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with the fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, this year of recompense for the cause for Zion. The description we find here in chapter 34 is go along with the chapter 19 book of Revelation. So you might want to write that in chapter 34, Revelation chapter 19. It talks about the battle of Armageddon in the Megiddo Valley of Israel. It's almost at the end of Great Tribulation, 7-year tribulation, and nations around the world will converge together to destroy, to fight against Israel. And then they want to fight against God. How dare for a human to think that they can fight against God? Do you know somebody had a similar thought? People start to build a tall tower known as Tower of Babel. And they said, we will build a tower and so that we can reach to heaven. It's nothing more than prideful thought. Do you know what the God did? He didn't destroy the tower. He just confused their language. So from the one guy saying, hand me that brick, to the, huh? They cannot communicate. Oh, let me guess. We are not going to work together because you don't know what I'm talking. Dispersed. Picture of the Megiddo Valley for me, please. This photo was taken from the Mount Carmel. Megiddo Valley is a pretty good size open plain, and the other side you cannot see because of the cloud. And the other side, you would, in the clear day, you would see Mount Gibor. It's a pretty good size, but we have a more bigger open plain in the United States. It's not about the size of openness. Rather, it's the location. You know what they say? Location, location, location? Yeah, it's about that. When the Napoleon Bonaparte saw this, unknowingly he prophesied, this is the greatest place for the world's army to fight here. You see, the Megiddo Valley will be the place. All this world army is going to come down, try to fight. There are some people say, that some theologians say, this is the place where the Antichrist European army and the 200 million from the Eastern Kingdom will come down together and they will fight with one another. I don't know where they find that portion. I don't find anywhere in the Bible they will fight one another. But one thing for sure, they will come against Israel. After 7 years of God's rest on earth, as you know this from the scripture of the book of Revelation, the world population, currently we have 7 billion people. During this tribulation time, there will be so much God's wrath, God's judgment, and wars against one another, and a natural disaster. It will reduce down to tremendously. I'll be surprised if there will be more than 2 billion people in the entire world. Because remember, according to with the first judgment, one-third of the world population would be wiped out. So out of 7 billion, think with me, more than over 2 billion people will be wiped out just like that. Just like that. Let me put it in the real term. Do you know the world, the countries around the world that has the nuclear weapons, thermonuclear weapons, they have an arsenal more than enough to destroy the earth 40 times over. We are really, really good at killing each other. Almost at the end of this great tribulation, and it won't be the same kind of situation. I don't think that they would have the same kinds of weapon like we do. I was talking with an Israel tour guide who guided our group. I was talking about the Euphrates River will be dried up and the 200 million Eastern army will cross that Euphrates River. And he told me, well, crossing the Euphrates is nothing. We can build a bridge quickly and we can haul them with the helicopters. And I was thinking, you don't know what Einstein said. This is what Einstein said. I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with the sticks and stones. Do you think he knows what he's talking about? You betcha. He's one of the most smartest person in the world. Currently, it seems that it is an in thing for the people, especially in the Hollywood, amongst the Hollywood celebrities and European people, to hate Israel, which merely tried to defend its people and country against the rain of rockets that was fired by the Hamas. The Lord will pour out His final judgment and wrath upon the ungodly people and the nation that are against Him and Israel, which is known as the second coming of Christ. When He comes down, all this smart bomb, if they had, all this sticks and stone will not do anything against Christ. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, as he said in 2 Peter chapter 3. Why God is waiting until that time we don't know? Because He is extremely patient toward us and not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not find pleasure in the death of the wicked. How much longer God will wait, we don't know. So it is extremely important for the lost sinners to repent and trust the Savior Jesus Christ today, not later. Go back to Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, please. Our memory verse. Search from the book of the Lord and read, not one of these shall fail. Did you get that? Not one shall lack his homemade. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit, that is Holy Spirit, has gathered them. Do you want to know what's going to happen in the future? Read the word. Do you want to know what the meaning of your life? Read the word. Do you want to find yourself special? This is the most lamest excuse, if there is such a thing as that kind of word. The lame excuse of those who are going through the midlife crisis. I need to find myself. Well, go stand in front of a mirror, you will find the ugly one there. You want to find yourself? Read the Word. The Word of God has the answers. Matthew chapter 24, please. Verse 35. Matthew 24, 35. You know, that excuse, you know, I need to find myself, is the just carnal answer. I want to go out, do whatever I want to do, just like when I was a teenager. That's the bottom line. Verse 35, get this, guys. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Is that clear enough for you? Word of God will not pass away. Back to Isaiah 35, verse 1, please. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. And it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord. The excellency of our God, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Inhabitation of the jackals, and where each lay, they shall be a grass with a reed and a rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called highway of holiness. Doesn't that sound good? The uncleanness shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. And the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to the Zion with a singing and with everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and the sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can you imagine the time? No more sighing, no more sorrow. As we notice, the earth will be completely chaotic situation from the God's judgment and wars and natural disasters for 7 years. Does God expect his people to live on that horrible earth? No. He will make everything new. All things new. Go to Revelation chapter 21, please. If you think I'm lying, go there. Chapter 21, verse 5, please. This is what God says. Then he, Jesus, who sat on the throne, said, "Behold, I will make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for this word are true and faithful." God will make all things new. You know, chapter 35 of Isaiah gives us a glimpse of the sin of the future Israel. No more sickness, no more death, and no more barren desert. And the wilderness will be transformed to the gigantic Garden of Eden. Can you imagine? And no more this brownness. All this sour, the green valley, the brownness will turn into rush green. And no more threat from the wild beast. Two applications. Number one, the sooner we realize that we cannot put our God in our timeline, the better we are in trusting Him, depending on His awesome sovereignty and omniscience. Really, God knows what He's doing. Stop coming up with my own strategy, concocting things before God. Wait upon the Lord. Second application. The Lord will keep every promise mentioned in this book. He did and He will. Believe it. Amen?